Welcome back to another episode of the Huxley Morton podcast, where this week I'm quite excited to say that I have got Harvey Castro on the show with me. Harvey and I connected a while back on LinkedIn, but I've since seen a lot of interesting posts coming from your end, Harvey, around the big thing at the moment, ChatGPT. Now, it doesn't quite roll off the tongue like just Google it does for me, which is annoying, but it's an interesting subject. So I've given you a quick overview there, but it's new territory for a lot of people. So give us an intro in your own words as to what you're doing, what your business is, what your, how you got into this space.
Yeah. Well, just a quick summary about me. I'm a ER board certified doctor here in Dallas, Texas. Mm-hmm. I call myself a serial entrepreneur because I'm not the typical person. And when I say that, I'm just going to give you a little taste of crazy stuff I've done. I come from a very, very humble beginning, literally come from poverty, come from nothing. First generation American, first generation college person. But then I share that story because it kind of explains why I have this grit, why I have this personality, why I'm doing all these kind of crazy things. And just to give you a quick background, I'm an author of several books. When I was in high school, I started my own vitamin company, and I was selling vitamins and paying for college and paying for my needs.
Yeah.
And then later I joined the army, but then that entrepreneur spirit got me into writing iPhone apps. At one point I had over 30 iPhone medical apps. Wow. I had my own billing company, my own staffing company, had 8 emergency rooms. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not the typical doctor, and I wanted to just put it out there because it kind of explains more of my personality when I start talking about ChatGPT.
It seems that way, Harvey. I guess, often, any of the physicians, doctors that I speak to, they're not always typical either. They are in the world of clinical research, which not all physicians end up getting into. And that's where, this podcast is healthcare, clinical research focus. So it's interesting that you've kind of done so much. How you first got into, the healthcare sector, clinical research sector, biotech sector, where did that first come out? That's normally where I start with people, is to how they got into this industry, as it may be.
Well, the bigger picture is I got into healthcare because honestly, I just had horrible healthcare growing up, and I wanted to be that doctor. I wanted to be that provider that provided for others and to help people. And so my goal was to be a physician. Once I became a physician, luckily for me, this thing called an iPhone came out, and I was just fascinated because the exact story is as follows. I was in the emergency room, literally had a patient that was dying. I told a nurse I needed a certain medicine and at a certain rate. And she's like, let me verify that. And so she opened up a textbook. She started flipping through the textbook. Then she was trying to figure out the weight, then got a calculator out, and then had to go to the pharmacy, get the medicine and give it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is minutes that's going to end up costing the patient. Luckily, the patient ended up okay, but I thought there's got to be a better way. And so I literally, at the time, invented an app called IV Meds. It's no longer in the app store. But what it did was pretty simple. You would open the app, just tap on the name of the drug. And because there's so many drugs we use in the ER for these situations. And then you hit their weight, and then boom, it would tell you the rate to give the patient that medicine. It was literally seconds.
Wow.
And so that idea, I thought, man, I'm a doctor, but if I can keep making apps like this, I can not only be a doctor in this ER, but I can be a doctor everywhere. And I thought, wow, what an amazing feeling to be able to help not just one person, but help many. And so that was the crux of the idea. And so fast forward, I had my emergency rooms, all these businesses, and
I was going to say, when was that? Just to give me a kind of an idea on timescales here.
Oh my goodness, I'm going to date myself here. I want to say this was around 2011, somewhere around there.
Okay. So over 10 years back.
Yes, sir. And so I was able to grow all the different apps, and I think I was ahead of my time in a sense, because everything I wanted to submit to the App Store, Apple was like, no, FDA is not going to approve that one. No. And it makes me laugh today, because today I'm like, man, all the stuff I wanted to submit, they're allowing them today. And so I had the advantage that from a clinical point of view, I was able to say, here's a problem. I'm a doctor. Here's the entrepreneur. Then here's the research behind it. And here's the product.
Yeah.
And I was able to go to market, and people would open the app and be like, oh my gosh, I love this stuff. This is great. And so I was having fun. Unfortunately, at the after I grew it, I was going to go through a divorce, and I literally just stopped everything. And looking back, I wish I had just continued, because, you know, I was doing many interesting ideas that now I'm seeing whole industries that are just one of my apps is now an industry. And so I'm thinking, wow, I should have continued. So that gives that preface, because when I saw ChatGPT, I thought, oh my gosh, this is all over again, like iPhone in my mind. I'm like, here's a product, here's healthcare with issues and pain points. If I can bring the two together, man, I can create something amazing. Now, the difference 10 years later is I don't own ChatGPT. I don't own healthcare. My approach now is more giving, in the sense that I'm looking at it from 10,000 feet high, saying, if I can introduce this concept of ChatGPT and healthcare to people that have never heard of it, then all of a sudden I'm going to create conversations, and then these conversations are going to become solutions to problems. And then this will create pressure here in the United States to the FDA, and it's going to cause pressure to our leaders. And then all of a sudden there's going to be a huge demand that'll going to create products. And then ultimately it's going to help healthcare. And I know that's kind of really like a lot of steps that I've been thinking, but I that's my true cause here. And that's why I wrote that book called ChatGPT Healthcare.
Okay. So look, you've written this book, and it's clear that you're a big advocate of ChatGPT for healthcare. But as you say, look, you don't own it. You're still kind of working as a doctor, as a physician, are you, or a medical advisor? I believe I saw on your LinkedIn profile.
How do you split your time?
Sorry, I cut you off there, Harvey.
No, so I'm sorry.
How do you split your time?
Yeah, good question. So now, unfortunately, I'm not seeing patients. I'm more focused on my time with healthcare startups. So I'm working with telemedicine companies. I'm working with different startups that are specific in AI or telemedicine, because I feel like that is the future. So I feel like I'm still practicing medicine. It's just at a different point of view.
Okay. And then where did the idea come to write this book? Because I mean, only feels like 5 minutes ago that I heard about ChatGPT and was like, it exploded on LinkedIn and everyone's saying, oh, I've done this with ChatGPT, I've asked ChatGPT this, and I, you know, whereas you've already got a book out about it. So when did you put pen to paper, or, you know, get some text onto a computer somewhere for that?
No, awesome question. A lot of people ask me the same thing. So honestly, I read about it late November. I think it came out in November 22nd or thereabouts. And then in December, I thought, you know, this is another iPhone app moment where I'm looking at a new technology that it could go into healthcare. And I thought, you know, if I can spread the word, let me do it. So the month of December, luckily I was on a sabbatical, and so I had time. And, you know, obviously the Christmas time and break, I tend to be a workhorse when I get my mind into something. And I said, you know what? Let me use ChatGPT, because this is the next question I always ask, people ask me. It's like, did ChatGPT write the book? And I say, no, but ChatGPT did write the outline for me, because I did ask ChatGPT, hey, I need an outline for a book that's going to be about healthcare and ChatGPT. And it literally gave me an outline. I said, I like the outline. I edited it a little and I said, let me work on this. And that was my outline that I could just focus on. And so every day I literally stayed by the computer, did my research, looked at different topics. And it was a catch 22. One hand was saying, hey, I need to spend a couple of months before I release this. The other hand was like, no, Harvey, get the product out, work on another book after this one, because the fact of just getting the name out there, getting that presence will help more than me taking 3-6 months and then getting it out. And so it was literally a toss. And at one point I wasn't going to release. And I said, you know what? I want to be the first doctor out there. I want to be an advocate, and I want to be a leader instead of a follower. So I got it out.
Wow. So you heard about it in November. So when when did it, the book actually go online? And look, can people, you know, go online now and get it? Is it on the Amazon store? Where should we be looking for this?
Yes, sir. It's on the Amazon store as a Kindle and as a paperback. Mm-hmm. And it came out, I believe, on January the 5th. So wow. Pretty fast.
Yeah.
And so now that I'm getting feedback, it's a hard, I'm going to say this to everybody. I'm not encouraging anyone to buy it. It's more of a kind of curiosity and kind of get your brain thinking. Mm-hmm. What I have found, and I knew this going in, is those people that are very technical and into AI and know everything that comes out the day of, they read the book and are like, this is old news. I've heard of this. Whatever. But yeah. People that in my audience, in my mind, is meant to people that have never heard of it, to kind of spark different ideas. Because in my mind, I'm as an entrepreneur, if you see a problem and you try to fix it, I'm encouraging you to use ChatGPT and figure out how to create new ways. And
yeah.
So my idea was like, let's get this book out there to the public, to the masses. And so it's funny, I'm getting two flavors. Some people that either love the book, and obviously other people that are like, I hate this book. And so now, as I'm taking it personal, so I'm actually working on a second book that is very specific and very methodical, and I'm working on adding some other things, and I'm taking a little bit more time in the sense that I'm trying to like show more functions of ChatGPT and take it to the next level. But like everything, you know, there's always generation 1, 2, and then ChatGPT 4 is coming out, I think, probably in March. So, you know, here's more change coming.
Wow. So look, I mean, I'm impressed that you were just like, you know what, I'm just going to get this out there, because as you say, sometimes being first is the best thing that you can be. And, you know, otherwise we could all procrastinate about so much in life and then just nothing happens. So look, fair play for doing that. In terms of the book then, and what it is focused on, you talked about solving problems in healthcare. If you were to, I guess, kind of highlight some of the problems you see ChatGPT being able to solve, what would they be? Or what are the top three if we would say, or top one, whatever. I don't know kind of how many you envision. So I'll keep it a bit of an open question for you there.
No, I appreciate that. Let me preface by saying, I feel like in life, many problems can be addressed with education. And with that statement, let me explain ChatGPT.
Mm-hmm.
There are some barriers in healthcare. Obviously, the biggest one is privacy laws. Here in the United States, it's called HIPAA laws. I'm sure around the world, it's just can be cataloged as just privacy laws.
Yeah.
Those privacy laws forbid you from, depending on what country and what exact laws, they generally all say the same. Basically, you cannot use your name, my name, and put it into ChatGPT in a healthcare setting, because that would be violating our healthcare laws. In fact, if we're dead here in the United States, I want to say it's 50 years that name is protected, that information. So with that said, that's a problem. How can it be used? Unfortunately, we'll go into that, but how I see it being used is education in the following way. If I am a diabetic, I always like using this example. If I'm a diabetic and I need to eat better, most people will ask their doctor, talk to a nutritionist. I feel, and this is not medical advice, this is just how I personally feel, I feel like you could go into ChatGPT and here's the one of the beauties. Instead of asking the same question to Google, ask the same question to GPT, and here's an example.
Mm.
I'm a diabetic, I'm 50 years old, and then you can customize it and say, I need to eat better. I need a low glycemic index or food that don't have high glucose.
Yeah.
But here's a caveat. I'm allergic to wheat. I'm gluten allergic. I'm also allergic to eggs. And I need a diet Monday through Friday, 3 days, 3 meals, and I need you to give it to me. And then you type it all in, you submit it to GPT, and within seconds, it literally will give you a meal plan of what you can eat. It will take out the things that you said you were allergic to. And then I'll take it to the next step. Then after it gives you that, you can say, give me a grocery list of that diet. And it'll give you that grocery list. And then say you guys are in the UK, I'm in the United States. You can say, I need all the restaurants that are available for this diet in Dallas, Texas, or I'm going to be in China. I need, which restaurants in China can I go to for this particular diet?
Yeah.
And it'll point you in that direction. You cannot do that with Google. And so in healthcare, sorry, that was so long-winded, just to give that example. In healthcare,
it kind of, I think it was good because it shows the layers of where you can go and like kind of the quality of your input will, I guess, then influence the quality of the output and kind of how specific you be. So it's a good example, I think, Harvey.
Yeah. So in healthcare, this is the exciting part for me. As a doctor, unfortunately, the average time with a patient is 13 minutes. And so if you see your doctor once a year, you're averaging 13 minutes with the doctor. That means the rest of your time of education is either Google, friends, whatever you find. And I hate to say it, but whoever has the best SEO agent engine out there is going to win your eyes. Mm. And so if they're paying for those ads or if they're paying for that attention, whatever you type in, that's what's going to be in front of you. And so what I love about ChatGPT, we'll go over the positives later. We need to go over the negatives, is that it's going to customize these things for you. And like this example, and you're going to prompt it. And so how I see this done in healthcare is amazing because as a doctor, I can be proactive. Again, remember, we got HIPAA laws and all that, but assuming I'm not putting your name in there, I can go into ChatGPT, say we're in the patient room, and I can customize a meal plan. I can say, here are the drugs, here are the things, here you go. And let's just take it to the next layer. Say your grandma's in town, and let's just pretend they're from some foreign country and I don't speak that language. Guess what? I can type it into ChatGPT, say, I need it in this language, and it'll give me this whole thing in that language. That's amazing. And so it's pretty incredible.
I've been taken back by what it can do. And, you know, almost like you say, I know that my partner has already kind of gone onto the platform to ask about what we should be doing with our newborn baby and, you know, with certain symptoms that he's had. And we're like, it is one of those things that I guess it's going to be, I think it's going to be big. It already is big. So look, I guess one question that is perhaps I'm sure been asked plenty of times is, aside from, you know, publishing the book, what is in this, I guess, for yourself? Because I've seen you know, promoting the platform here, there, and everywhere. But as you say, you don't own it. So what is in this for you, being the advocate, I guess?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. And my wife asks me that question sometimes too. Honestly, I think it's the doctor in me. It's this human being in me that says, hey, I have to do more. And I feel like this is my little project that I want to honestly create a movement. I have this hashtag called ChatGPT Healthcare, and that's the name of the book. And that's my goal, is to rise awareness, because with this technology, like any technology, I could either sit on the sidelines and see what the leaders do, or I could be that leader to promote doctors, to be the driver, to help mold it in a certain way. That way, the end goal is better healthcare. And so honestly, my end goal in this is to see me add a little bit into the world, and that I didn't invent any of these things, but if I can advocate and I can help be a leader in this and create changes and let other companies make money and do all these things from the ideas, then I know that sounds crazy, but then it's a win for me, because guess what? I was part of that change. I helped create that change. I'm making that structure, that forum on LinkedIn. I'm creating the book. I'm creating the conversations. And you know, if something comes out of it, great. Like maybe somebody will say, hey, Harvey, we need help with X, Y, Z, and I can help. But that's not really my goal. My goal is really just to help promote it. And then if someone gets excited about a certain project and says, hey, Harvey, I want you to be part of this with me, then maybe I'll do it. And, you know, I'll be like, sure. Because if it's my goal is, if it helps somebody else, then I'm already kind of already in. And then if I can really make an impact, then I'm in. And so, but yeah, good question.
Yeah, no, well, it's very clear, Harvey, that you're passionate about it. And like, that's why I thought that this was, you know, you already had, there was a company that had been set up, you had been brought in because you're an expert. But the fact that you're doing, you know, a lot of this off your own back is, yeah, just pretty impressive stuff. And I guess, look, coming away from the book a little bit, I mean, it may well be covered in the book. You know, let me know if it is, but what would you say are some of the biggest maybe misconceptions about ChatGPT and healthcare? You know, because I'm sure that you've had you know, comments that are like, oh, this isn't going to work, that won't happen, et cetera, et cetera. What are the biggest misconceptions that you've perhaps come across to date?
Excellent question. Some of the interesting misconceptions is a lot of people are, and this is not just healthcare, a lot of people are worried about their jobs and about their future. And that is a huge misconception in my mind, because the way I see it is, you know, back in the day, teachers were upset when you would use your calculator in school. And, and later people were upset when I was seeing patients and I would pull out my iPhone because they're like, hey, are you texting someone? I was like, no, I'm actually looking at clinical data and I'm actually looking up some interactions and trying to help. And so the reason I go into this is because instead of worrying about this technology, I'm going to challenge people and say, let's embrace it.
Yeah.
Let's just use it as another tool in our toolbox and know that those that use this tool well are going to do well. And those that don't use it are going to be at a disadvantage because someone else is using this tool. And maybe that's how the job displacement occurs, because other people are being more efficient.
If that makes sense. Yeah, no, I kind of see that. And I think, you know, an area that I see a lot of is on LinkedIn, I guess the copywriters and things like this, where they perhaps do feel a little bit threatened because, you know, ChatGPT can now put together copy. So your average Joe, such as myself, could now go and get something very witty and funny from ChatGPT and put it out there. But I still, you know, leaning towards what you're saying, still those who are the creative types who know how to put the best input into the platform are still going to get the best output. And therefore, it should raise the bar for everyone rather than people thinking it's going to do them out of the job. It's kind of my opinion.
Yeah.
And it seems that you share that.
I do. And another misconception I see out there is this technology can be used right away, right off the box in healthcare. There's a lot of privacy laws. There's a lot of issues. I see some programmers just, you know, contacting me and say, hey, we're going to do this. And I'm like, you need to talk to an attorney. You need to like make sure this flies, because I don't want you getting sued because you're doing something that literally is going to break HIPAA rules. And I know OpenAI is coming out with an API soon that's going to allow integration with other softwares. And I can't wait to see all the things that come out. But my worry is, and this is another reason why I'm an advocate, is that if it's not done correctly, I don't want a bad outcome or some lawsuits and then people turn away from this technology and now we're behind because things were done wrong. Another example that I'm really worried about is here in the United States, we're not worried about people going to the drugstore and getting medicine and unfortunately hurting themselves because they can't. They need a doctor's prescription, and not that they can't hurt themselves, but there's that extra layer of protection that the doctor has to write it. My real concern is people out there that don't understand GPT, because we haven't gone into the negatives, but let's give you a quick one. Say you're in a country that you can go to the drugstore and pick up any drug, and say you go into GPT and say, I have XYZ symptoms, and it tells you, oh, you have this kind of disease and this is a treatment. And then you go to the pharmacy, you pick up the drug, you take it, and you end up hurting yourself, or it's the wrong diagnosis. Then people can die and people can have some bad outcomes. So my personal worry is ChatGPT, again, it's still in beta. That means it's not fully ready. It's just, they're just letting us play with this software.
Yeah.
Let us use it. Obviously a human being, let's interact and be a advocate. And obviously as a doctor, let me look at it, analyze it. If it has to do with my box, meaning emergency medicine or this type of medicine, let me give it a thumbs up and say, yep, this is good. Obviously, if I'm a dermatologist and it's asking me some very specific cardiology question that I don't know, then I'm the wrong person for it. So what I'm saying here is use this technology with caution. And if it's going to impact your personal health or something that can harm you, please make sure you're seeing some professional and looking through it to make sure that person is giving it its blessings.
Interesting. And look, you mentioned that I guess potentially it could be dangerous, you know, given the scenario you've just outlined. What do you think? I mean, do you know whether they're doing anything, or what do you think needs to be done to kind of restrict that? Because I guess we're all guilty of it. You know, we go online, we find something, all of a sudden we're experts because ChatGPT has said it, or Google said it, or Sandra at the water cooler has said it, you know. Right. Yeah, we've heard it from somewhere, and all of a sudden that's our reality. So what do you think needs to happen in order for them to raise enough awareness to say that, you know, kind of a site-wide disclaimer? How do you think that that's going to happen? Is it possible?
Awesome question. And my brain's already racing multiple answers. So number one, ChatGPT tries their best to put filters. So if you ask it, hey, I want to make a bomb and I want to make it, you know, explode a building, it has filters in it that will stop you from knowing how to do that. With that said, this is generative technology in the sense that it's trained to give you an answer. And unfortunately, you can ask it different angles and different steps and it'll answer it. And then there's ways of getting around it. So they're working hard on making sure that these things are not allowed.
Yeah.
The other answer is, just because we talk about ChatGPT, it's kind of like saying the word Kleenex. We always think of the word Kleenex and we associate it with that, but there's different types of Kleenexes out there. It's just Kleenex is the brand and it kind of stuck. I think that's what's going to happen with ChatGPT. I think Google has had this technology. It's just they were holding it and making sure that it was going a certain route. And so the fact that they opened it, OpenAI, and let it out to the public, I think it's an issue. And so how to protect it, I personally think that it's hard to do that because it's generating. The second part, I don't have any ownership in Google, but I feel like Google's product is very sensitive and it's very specific. And when it comes out, it's going to list its references. It's going to give you more. Whereas when ChatGPT, you ask it anything, it gives you an answer, but you have no idea if that's right or wrong, unless you're a professional in that particular sector, if that makes sense.
Right, it does.
It has that, it always will answer. So it's almost like the best salesman, because it always tells you something. And if you don't know that subject really well, you're going to look at it and say, looks good. You know, let me drive that example even further. There was a TikTok that went viral in December, and it was a rheumatologist that basically was fighting the insurance company for a patient. Basically, it was a procedure and they got denied, and it was to United Health. And he asked ChatGPT to help write a letter for this patient and basically say, hey, this procedure was denied. I want to fight it and give me some references. So it wrote a nice letter. It had some references. And when you look at it, you're like, huh, looks good. Let's send it in. But when they actually looked into it, the name of the author did not match the name of the article, and it was a mismatch. And then that whole article didn't go with what the argument was for. And so it gives you a great example how at first it looked good. The guy posted it on TikTok. He was convinced that this was great. But then when he dove a little deeper, he realized, whoa, this is not nowhere near.
Yeah. So again, you don't work direct for GPT, but how does it, I mean, this is more of a personal question, but how does it draw all this information together, Harvey? So like, clearly that's one example where it's pulled information from several sources, put it together, but it's not necessarily been accurate. So where do you know where, how it works, how it gets the data? Is it just kind of scraping the web?
What I understand is it's getting data from different databases. So it's pulling data, but the beauty is it's not pulling it from the internet, and it stops in the year 2021. So if you ask it who won the World Cup this year or last year, it won't know. And so to answer your question, to drive a better example, they're pulling databases wherever they can and they're trying to add. So a good example would be they were at one point taking the database from Twitter, anything they could take from Twitter, and they were adding it to their database. And then when Elon Musk realized that this is what was going on, he cut the feed. So that way ChatGPT could not go into that database. And so from what my understanding is, they're just whatever database they're finding, they're able to throw it at it. And it's just learning from it and growing and growing. That's what it's good and bad. From a creativity, it's good because it's literally talking back to us, and we ask it something and it's telling us. My worry is that if it's above our pay grade or if it's above our specialty, that we may go into it thinking, oh, this is great. And then in reality, it's totally wrong. With that said, I still hold promise. This is just this generation, but the ChatGPT 4 supposedly is going to come out March, April-ish. And if that's the case, they're making it sound like it's going to have references and it's going to be that was going to have like 500 times more powerful. So I'm thinking, wow, if that's the case,
wow, gosh,
who knows what this next generation is going to hold?
Yeah. Interesting stuff. And look, it's very clear that you're an advocate. How has the platform been perceived or accepted by, I guess, your peers, other doctors like yourself? Do they share your view that it can be an incredible advancement for healthcare, or are they concerned about the potential flaws? Because it's a double-edged sword by the sound of things, just listening to you today.
Yeah, that's a good question. So I feel like healthcare in general, it's really slow to change and it's very traditional. And depending on the generation of who you ask, they will look at healthcare differently. And let me elaborate. I'm not picking on ages, but if you talk to a 60-year-old male or female that's in medicine and ask them about ChatGPT, and then you ask a medical student about ChatGPT, you're going to get two total different answers. Because the medical student is used to technology, texting, looks at life differently, AI. The 60-year-old is going to look at things more traditional, resistant to change. Mm-hmm. They may not even want to type. They're used to just a certain way. And I'm not generalizing too much. I'm just kind of saying this is how it's viewed. And so when it comes to this technology, often people that don't want change, they resist change.
Yeah.
And this is how I foresee some doctors looking at it. So when they say, hey, you're trying to reinvent the wheel, when the wheel is there, why are you doing this? In reality, they're having to get education. And it goes back to my first point. I think if you educate these individuals of the power, then they will change. Let me give you a quick example. Medical data, the knowledge base of doubles every 73 days. So that means if we did this interview in 73 days, the amount of technology and medical knowledge has doubled. That just blows my mind. So, I almost feel super outdated when I say when I graduate medical school, it was back in 2002, like the knowledge then to now is just massive. And so how do I keep up with that? How can I keep up with that kind of data? Thank God that I'm in ER and it's my silo and this is it. But even at that, there's so much information. So my point is this. I really believe in the future, ChatGPT will be able to generate articles, will be able to give me updates, and it'll give it to me in real time. And I wouldn't be surprised if maybe once a week I get an email saying, here are the bullets, here's what's going on. You want more information, click here, and then boom, it's ChatGPT talking to me.
Yeah,
I think that is huge and powerful. And it's hard as a traditional doctor to look back and be like, no, I'm just going to get that textbook. Well, guess what? By the time that textbook's printed, it's already out of date.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, it's still mind-blowing stuff, Harvey. So I appreciate you jumping on with me to kind of share what, you're doing, talk about the book, ChatGPT Healthcare, and kind of outline, I guess, the pros and the cons. You're not just sitting here saying it's the best thing since sliced bread. You're, openly accepting that there are a few flaws and areas that need to be addressed. Look, in terms of, what's next for you and your journey on this, what are your plans next? Because, I know that you when I reached out to you and said that I would like to speak to you about this subject, you were very keen. Are you going to, continue to be an advocate? You've already mentioned kind of another book in the pipeline. Is it going to be as quick a turnaround as the next one? Talk us through kind of how you're visualizing the next 6 to 12 months of your life and GPT.
Good question. So I see myself writing a series of books and now start kind of specializing in certain areas and using ChatGPT and how that could affect, instead of trying to shotgun it where I'm talking about everything from left to right and it's really hard to do. I'm going to start bringing it down and try to focus on certain problems and really focusing and give examples. Over the next 12 months, I foresee once the next generation comes out, there's some talks of it giving other features, then that'll be another whole series of books, because the way I see it is, one rumor is that you could show ChatGPT a picture and then it'll extract the picture and then give you a different output. that can create so many different applications.
A different output. What do you mean by that?
So let's say we show a picture of me to ChatGPT.
Mm.
In theory, and again, this is all rumors, it could look at a picture of me, and then it could create a whole blog of who I am, what I am. Here are the links about me.
No way.
Just with the picture. And so wow. if it can do those kind of things, and it's going to start changing the output in the sense that right now we type and it types back, but then if you show a picture and it goes to you another picture, like there's just all these variations of things that are supposed to be coming out.
Wow.
That just changes the feel completely, where now it's, I'm not saying I'm trying to push books, but now I'm trying to educate or trying to figure out ways of using it. And so how do I personally see it? I am starting to get approached by literally people from all over the world, Israel, Germany, England, United States, saying, hey, Harvey, can you come on board as an advisor and just kind of be one of our advisors for our companies to help us with product development or X, Y, and Z? So I have a feeling that that's going to start multiplying. I'm going to start getting more offers in that line. And I love living in the clouds and giving ideas and kind of expressing. And that's kind of more exciting for me. So that's kind of more the stuff I'm hoping to do.
And those offers, you're curious, is that going to be specifically related to how they can implement GPT, or is it just in general their kind of innovation development department?
Excellent question. It's been both. I've had since I've had over 20 healthcare companies, they've asked me to help them just with startups. Just, hey, help me with this business. Give me some ideas. With the ChatGPT, I've had companies already, literally last night I had a call from Canada saying, hey, I'd like to talk to you more about how you see ChatGPT, and here's a product that I'd created. Can you give me an insight of how you think this could work together, especially as an ER doctor in ChatGPT? This is kind of the field. And so those are the kind of things. Obviously, I call ChatGPT as one idea, but who knows, when Google announces theirs, maybe Sparrow is better than ChatGPT, or maybe for this particular product or problem or pain point, or maybe there's other AIs out there that haven't hit the media like we have with ChatGPT, that once they come out, people are like, oh my gosh, for this particular problem, this is actually better than ChatGPT.
Are you hinting then that ChatGPT, is it going to be the equivalent of like that? There'll be another version. So it would be like Yahoo, Google, you know, Ask Jeeves from back in the day. There's going to be variations of this same product from different providers such as Google and others.
Yes, I think that's coming, because
wow,
I don't know if you read about Code Red when in December when Google came out and said, you know, there was an internal memo, basically Code Red, saying, hey, this is a threat to our Google search engine. Because basically, Bing, Microsoft owns 49% of OpenAI, and they have announced that their Apple products and Bing will have a version of ChatGPT attached to it. And so that's going to be huge. And then obviously Google can't stay put, or else Bing is going to take over. So they need to come up with it. So I almost feel like it's an AI arms race, where it'll be those two players fighting.
It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. I mean, I'm just thinking right back to the top of our conversation where you mentioned, you know, the iPhone and things like that, you know, thinking about, you know, when Nokia ruled the phone world, and then everything changed. So I'm just wondering where we're going to perhaps be 10 years from now with different providers of this type of product or advanced versions of. You mentioned the picture potential capability. What if it can start doing videos? Like, it's incredible stuff. So look, before I let you go, Harvey, I guess, look, a lot of the people that I either have on the podcast or tune into the podcast are in the world of healthcare, clinical research. You know, some are entrepreneurs, business leaders themselves. Others are, you know, looking to, you know, aspiring to be that or start companies in startup world. What is, I guess it doesn't necessarily need to be healthcare related. What is some of the tips or tricks that you've picked up with the product that you might be able to share with people? Is there any, or, you know, that spring to mind, kind of quick hacks of how we can be getting the best out of this for just general, yeah, business in general?
Yeah, I think twofold. Putting a general statement, the engine or the device or any tool in life, it's only as good as the user. If you don't know the tool, you know, I'll make a bad example. If you're using a rifle for the first time and start shooting, you're not going to be a sharpshooter, even if it's the best rifle in the market.
Mm-hmm.
But if you practice, i.e. if you start practicing with ChatGPT, working on its different prompts, it's kind of like another skill set.
Yeah.
Then you will be a better user and you will be better than others in your own field because you're using it. And even if someone else is using it, the fact that you're using it with better prompts and asking the better questions, you will be more successful. Now I'm going to put on my business hat. Putting on my business hat, I would say, look at the market, see what the pain points are, but then see where ChatGPT lends itself currently. In the sense that, to me, education seems like a good opportunity. And then see how you can use ChatGPT and its APIs without having to worry about HIPAA compliance and those things, and look at the problem and the solution with in mind, and look for what stage. For example, like patient education, without putting a person's name, you could probably get away with using ChatGPT and creating an interface for the patient. Mm. And you're not giving away a person's name or identity or anything like that, and it can be a win-win, and you're educating the patient. But then obviously run it by your lawyers and all that, and what law country you're in, because, you know, make sure it's not included as a medical.
Get that disclaimer in there, Harvey. Get that disclaimer in there in terms of your own advice. I like it. Yeah. Cool. So I guess it seems as though that the advice is try it out, you know, get some experience. Like anything, kind of the more you practice with it, the better you're likely to get by the sound of things.
Exactly.
Awesome. Well, look, Harvey, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on to speak to us. I'm definitely going to have to get you on in a couple of months' time to hear the updates, because probably by the time that this goes out, we're already going to be out of date. But look, I know that I've been closely following you on LinkedIn. Is that the best place to get hold of you? Or is there other places? And also, yeah, just give us a quick overview of where people can find the book again.
Yeah, it's on Amazon as a Kindle or paperback, and just type in ChatGPT Healthcare, and then make sure you type in Harvey Castro, because then you make sure it's my book with that.
If definitely. Not,
honestly, I'm not advocating the book. I just want you to be active and you just use the hashtag ChatGPT Healthcare. And that way, when you see some product or something that applies, use that hashtag, because that's my goal in this, is to create a movement and educate each other. And if you want to find me, I'm usually on LinkedIn. So everything I've done on social media, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, is Harvey Castro MD, as in medical doctor. And that's what it is on LinkedIn. And then please follow me. And then I'm glad you're following me. I love posting stuff and updates and videos and kind of making it fun for people to continue learning.
Awesome stuff. Well, look, Harvey, been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. Thanks again for being on the Huxley Morton podcast.
Thank you.